Praise the Lord, everybody. Giving honor to God, who is the head of my life, to my pastors, Pastor Daddy and Pastor Mommy, and to all of the people of God in their respective places. It is an honor to be up here before you yet again to bring the word to you. Really excited to be up here and humbled and blessed. And so I would like to thank you for all being here today, for coming to church, as we should, for getting back to gather yourselves, the assembly. Praise God. So I am going to be speaking to Generation Next today, to the young people, to the squad. This is for you, but also for you seasoned saints as well, like mom and dad. Hopefully you get something out of this as well. So just prepare your heart, and I would like to open with a word of prayer. So please bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for yet another opportunity to come before your people and to proclaim the gospel and to speak with boldness and clarity the words you've given me to encourage and empower and uplift them. I pray now that I decrease and that you increase, and that this word would come forth and that someone would desire and want to know what they must do to be saved. And bless those that are all watching via Periscope right now. Thank you for touching their hearts to tune into this word, and I pray they are blessed and encouraged as well. In the mighty matchless name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. All right, so since this is for the squad, the young people, I'm going to be talking to them kind of in our language, you know, in some terms that we communicate. And don't be scared, you know, I'm still saved. This is just going to be a way for us to interact and make it very relevant and real for them. And so go with me in the word to Romans 12, verse 2. If you're in the Pew Bible in one of these, it's page 866. So Romans 12, verse 2. That's going to be our main scripture, and then we're going to walk through some other scriptures as well. But for our main text, it is Romans 12 and 2. And so it reads, Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And so for a thought today, for a title, I would like to talk to you from the thought of transformed beyond what's trending. Okay. So the definition of the word conform. To conform is to comply with rules, standards, laws, or to behave according to what's socially acceptable or social standards. The definition of transform is to make a thorough or dramatic or drastic change in the form or appearance or character. Okay, so what is this scripture directly telling us? It is telling us not to comply or adapt to what the world does, but to be thoroughly and completely changed by God into a new person, starting with the way we think. This is super, super, super important, because the mind is a powerful tool. The Bible tells us that as a man thinks, and it also applies to ladies, us, as we think, so we are. So your thoughts become actions, your actions become your habits, and your habits become your lifestyle. It's a chain. It starts with your thoughts. Okay, and so we want to develop healthy mindset, which turns into healthy habits and godly lifestyle. Amen. Okay, it takes 21 days, they say, to develop a habit. So imagine if you took 21 days to just dig deeper into what God, what his will is for you, his purpose, what he has to say through his word. 21 days to develop a habit. Let's do that. That's my first challenge to y'all today. All right, cool. Okay, so what does it have to do with us, with Generation Next? With the way we think. What does it have to do? Okay. Well, we want to be transformed beyond what's trending, beyond what the rest of the world thinks is okay, because we're set apart. We're a chosen people. We're peculiar. We're different. We're not like the world. We're not like the rest of everybody else. Okay. So, trending in terms of social media. How many of us have some sort of social media? All y'all should raise your hands. Y'all all got Instagram and Twitter and Periscope-ity, and everybody should have their hand raising here right now. Facebook, what else we got? Snapchat, what's some other ones? What we got? Pinterest. Oh, y'all being deep this morning. What else we got? Y'all gonna make me call y'all out? Okay, so we all have some sort of social media, right? And there's some sort of trend, something that's popping, something that's being talked about, being buzzed about, right? Yeah. Okay, so Trending topics in social media, that can be a good thing if used correctly. Anything can be used for the glory of God if used correctly and implemented in the right way. So social media in and of itself is not a bad thing. Instagram is not a bad thing. I use it. Periscope is not a bad thing. But what are you using it for? Are you following the trends of what everyone else is using it for? Are you using it unto God? What is your method and what is your motive behind what you're doing? What is the reason for why you do this? Okay, so social media, again, is not the problem. It becomes an issue when people promote things that are ungodly, right? So Mahatma Gandhi once said, be the change you wish to see in the world. If I could take it a step further, I want to say and challenge you to be the change in the church first that you want to see happen in the world. Because it's going to start with us. It has to start with us. We can't influence and change the world if we're like the world. How is that going to work? How are we going to change the world if we're just like them? We have to be set apart and be different. Okay? So, my youngins, the young people, the squad, it starts with our mindset. We want to be changed on the inside out. Okay? The Bible, and how can we do this? The Bible explicitly tells us, it lays out for us the process of how this can happen. Okay? Psalms 119:9 says, how can a young person, how can we stay pure? By obeying the word. It's so simple. People make Christianity and being a believer to be more deep and spiritual than it really is. It's very simple. It's about a relationship, not the religion, a relationship. And when you're in a relationship with someone, you wouldn't do anything to compromise that relationship, to hurt them, you know, to be disloyal. We love to preach love and loyalty in our generation. What about God? What about being loyal and loving to him? Being a believer is simple. It's so simple. It's like we make it to be so much more complex than it has to be. It's so we express our love and loyalty to him through obeying his word. Well, how do I obey his word? Very simple. I'm going to break it down for you. Matthew 22, verses 36 to 39 outlines the first and second of the commandments. The first commandment is to love God with all of your heart, your soul, and your mind. And then the second commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. Everything else hangs on these two commandments. If I love God and I love my neighbor, I'm not going to put my neighbor in a compromising situation that could potentially send them to the eternally hot place and me. If I love my neighbor, I'm not going to try to swindle them into doing something I know is not necessarily very, very believer and Christian-like. And if I love myself, I'm definitely not trying to go to be on eternal roast and barbecue. I'm trying to make it to heaven if I love myself. So if you think about it in terms like that, like, you'll never steal, you'll never lie, you'll never cheat. You won't be trying to do Netflix and pizza with nobody. That's not your husband or your wife. Because you are concerned about your salvation as well as that other person. Okay? Moving forward. My tablet locked. Okay, so on these two commandments hang all of the rest of the commandments, the laws, the ordinances, everything else. It falls right on those, okay? So what it looks like in action. Thy word have I hidden in my heart, so I would not sin against thee. When the word is in your heart, not just on your devices, right? When we're readers, when we're doers of the word, not just hearers or screenshotters and readers only, we won't sin against God. When it's hidden in you, not just you being able to recite it here and there when you need it. When it's really on the inside of you, it's going to change you. Yes. It's going to change the way you think, the way you move, how you interact with everyone else, because it's hidden. It's deep, 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 deep in you. I'm sorry, bear with me. Give me a second. Tablets. Amen. And that's where you want the word to be, on the inside. Because when it gets hard, when it gets really hard and you can't call on a pastor or his wife and it's really just you and you're really going through, that's when it's really going to be important for you to have that word on the inside. When your prayer partner can't be there. When it's just you fighting that demon by yourself. Late in the midnight hour when something jumps up on you and tries to take you out. If the word is on the inside of you, you'll be Gucci. You'll be good because you have it and it has you. All right. So this sounds all good, right? I'm telling you how to do it and how it sounds, but where in the scriptures did that happen? So I have four examples for you. Okay. So the first example of someone who was changed beyond a trend at the time comes from Joseph. And that's in Genesis 39. Joseph and Potiphar's wife. Oh, Lord. Joseph displayed godly integrity, a change deep, deep, deep on the inside when someone else didn't display that change. So the trend of the time was fornication and adultery. The transformation for Joseph was abstaining and integrity. Okay, so Potiphar's wife wanted to Netflix and chill with Joseph, right? She wanted to get down and lay down. He was not with it. He said, nah, it's quiet for all that. And he was consistent. He didn't just deny her once. The Bible says he kept telling her no and he stayed out of her way. You want to stay out of the way of sin. Stay out the way, y'all. Stay out the way. Don't put yourself in compromising situations when you know you might slip and fall. If a certain person is a stumbling block for you, they might cause you to sin. Stay away. If a certain place, you know you can't, you're not strong enough to not backslide, don't go there. Why would you go there? Don't do that, okay? And so his character integrity, which is doing the right thing when nobody else is watching, when he could have, in all reality, got him someone aside and nobody would ever know because Potiphar wasn't around. He entrusted him with everything in his house, including her. He could have done the wrong thing, but God, he had to change deep, deep down on the inside of him, okay? The integrity. So, character. Even though the rest of the world says Netflix and chilling is okay, you could get you someone alone and then be in church on Sunday, we know that's not really God's standard of living for us. We're changed beyond that. When the world says it's okay for you to have sex outside of marriage, we wait. We wait on God for our spouse. Because not only is it honoring God, it's his standard for us. It makes life so much easier. You avoid STDs and unwanted pregnancy, the cooties, the monsters. Just wait. Just wait, y'all. You don't want the epic cooties. Just wait, okay? I'm not going to give in to temptation. I love the Lord too much. Now I love myself too much to take me out of here prematurely because I couldn't just clink, clink, and wait. Just wait, okay? There's the we just talked about the click. The Holy Spirit will help you click. And hold it down, P-O-P, hold it down until you get a ring on your finger. Ask him to do it, and I promise you, I'm a witness, he will. Hold it down until you get a ring that locks it down. Amen? All right. Moving on. Y'all getting deep. Moving on. So, example two, okay? So, that example one was abstaining and holding out even when everyone else isn't. So, the trend is to hold out and wait on God. Despite what everyone else is doing, I'm going to wait. If nobody else waits, I'm going to wait because I trust God. I know that it'll be worth the wait. I'm going to wait on the Lord, okay? Example two is about obedience to God and what he's told you, even in the face of obscurity and ridicule, choosing purpose over popularity. And we're going to see that from Noah and his obedience in preparing the ark. Okay, so the trend, when the rest of the world and society wasn't following God's laws and his ordinances and his word, and we're partying and turning up, Noah was busy focused on his focus from God. He was cultivating his purpose. He was doing exactly what God told him to do. The trend, like I said, was partying and turning up. And the transformation for Noah was complete and total obedience, even though it didn't make sense. There wasn't a drop of rain in sight, and God's talking about there's going to be a flood. There's some things that God has told us to do, and it makes zip zero sense to us right now. But just be obedient and do it. Just do it. Y'all know I love. Just do it. Nike Ministry. Just do it. It doesn't make sense to you right now, but I promise you, when it gets rough and it gets deep, you'll understand why. Like, okay, all right, I get it now. And there's a protection for you in being obedient. Yeah. Noah was spared by doing exactly what God said, building the boat exactly the way God said, not changing it. Well, I think it should be built this way. You know, I think maybe if I just change. Do it exactly the way God told you to do it. Don't add anything, subtract anything, don't multiply, divide. Just do it exactly the way the Lord has told you to do it. Because there's a protection for you. There's favor and grace for you in that. Just do it. Nike Ministry, just do what God's told you to do. That's example two. When the rest of the world is partying and has the hookah in one hand and the Henny in the other, I have the word of God in this hand. And I have my worship and praise to him. Amen. I have my obedience. I'm going to do what God's told me to do. You do what you want to do. I'm different. God's called me to be something more. I don't want to be like the rest. I'm different. When the rest of the world says, oh, it's okay. You can just party on Saturday night and then be in church on Sunday. No, I can't. What if Jesus comes back while I'm out turned up in the club? What am I going to say to him? No. Anybody got time for that? Ain't nobody got time for that. What if he comes back? Well, I'm turning up, I be also ready because you don't know when he's going to come. None of us know. None of us know. I'm going to be in place, you know, with style and grace. I'm going to be on point where I was supposed to be because I don't know. I don't know when he's coming. And I don't have enough. I don't have any more time, to be honest with you, to play around. Playtime is over. It's time for us to get it together, young people. It's time for us to get it together. Okay, moving on, because y'all getting me excited. I'm not really a hooper, and I don't do that. But this is very real and very serious, and we need to get back to the place of taking the things of God very serious, because Jesus is coming very, very soon. With everything that's going on in the world, it's setting the stage for him to come. So you want to be ready, okay? So making good of your resources and doing exactly what God has told you to do is so important. Our obedience is an expression of our love and loyalty to God. And what he's asked you to do, believe it or not, it's a lot simpler than you think it is. It's not as hard as we make it out to be. You know, if God's told you to do something, obviously he thinks you can do it. He's not going to give you more than you can bear or something that's beyond your capability or capacity. So just do it. Amen? Okay. Example three comes from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they demonstrated true allegiance and loyalty and true worship to God. They were full-time believers, right? They weren't believers just on Sunday. They were full-time believers, Pastor Daddy. Every day, all day, every day believers, okay? And in Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar got this. That's you know, I was giving you the side eye a little bit there when you started talking about Nebuchadnezzar stealing my thunder from my message. Nebuchadnezzar came up with this bright idea. This he thought he was doing something brilliant to make this statue of himself. You want to be so careful if you're in a position of leadership. You don't want your position of leadership to lead you away from God.
That's it.
You don't want to allow your title, minister this and deacon that, to take you outside of the will of God and to put you in a place where you start to elevate self. That's what Nebuchadnezzar did. He let the title of king get to him. He started smelling himself a little too much. And I'm not sure if they wore deodorant back then, so you already know that was not a popping smell. But anyway, don't be that guy. Don't be that guy or girl that starts smelling and filling themselves to the point where you walk outside of what God has told you to do. Don't do that. Don't be that guy or girl. I beg you, ma'am, sir, don't be that guy, okay? Remain in God and remain humble. Because as fast as it's given, y'all already know. As fast as it's given, what? It can be taken away. As fast as you get that title or that position, as fast as you get that promotion and that blessing, gone. Now life humbles you. Now you have no choice but to be humble because you have nothing. Just be humble, saint of God. Just be humble, okay? And so Pastor has been teaching on wise and unwise worshipers, okay? So Nebuchadnezzar was an unwise worshiper. He worshiped self. He said, you know what? A pretty good king. I think I should make a statue of myself to celebrate. Unwise. But there was these three friends who were wise worshipers. And they said, you know, Nebuchadnezzar isn't the brightest bulb, but that's okay. We're not gonna be like everyone else. And when everyone else is falling into idolatry and false worship of him, we're gonna still worship God. We're not gonna fall into that. And so there, for God I live, for God I die, game was so strong. They were literally willing to go into the fire for him. Literally. They said, you know what? This may cost us our lives, but it doesn't matter. Because even if God doesn't bring us out of the situation, he's still God on the throne. He's still good in spite of everything. That's the kind of mindset we need to have as believers. No matter what happens, God is still good and he's in control. Even if I don't come out of the situation the way I think I should, coming out with what I think I should have, God is still in control. He's still on his throne. And so they were wise worshipers. When the trend was everyone else being idolatrous and worshiping and praising Nebuchadnezzar because of what he had, because of all his followers and his great accomplishments, and he made this great statue of himself. They said, curve, no thank you. Everything I have, all of my worship and praise belongs to God. That's who I'm going to worship, okay? And so the change on the inside of them was true worship. Now, squad, generation next, the young people, you want to make sure you have stable-minded, sound-minded people in your corner on your team. All three of them had the same mindset of true worship to God. Not one, not two, all three of them. You want to be in the company of other young, sound believers who are going to encourage you and come alongside you when things get rough.
Yes.
when the fire comes, when no one else is worshiping God and being loyal to God, and everyone else is Netflix and chilling and smoking hookah and weed, when you say, no, I don't want to do that, you want to be around other believers that say, you know what, I'm not going to do that either. I'm with you. That's what you want. You want godly, divine relationships and friendships. It's so important, because when the going gets tough, that's what you need. You don't want to be out there by yourself. You want to have people that can encourage you and be with you in that battle. Okay, and so it's really important, no matter what happens, no matter what everyone else is doing, my worship and praise belongs to God and God alone. That's it. Nobody else. I don't care what else, what everyone else is doing. You go to the left if you want to. I'm going to do what God's told me to do, and I'm going to be obedient, and even if it costs me my life, because this is not my home anyway. As a believer, I'm going to be out of here someday anyway. So why not just do what God's told me to do and just be obedient and live a life that's pleasing unto him? Do it now. Yeah. Now. Yeah. Not tomorrow, because you don't know if tomorrow's going to come for you. Now. Okay. And so the last example that I wanted to give to you is the parable of the 10 virgins. And again, stealing my thunder data on Periscope. So the parable of the 10 virgins, it is an example to us about preparation and protection of what God has given you and entrusted you with, and exercising wisdom. Okay? And so you don't want to let anyone ever pimp your purpose or your passion or acquire your anointing or what God has given you. Okay? The parable of the 10 virgins is an example of how, is a story about how Jesus paints a picture of 10 women who were given the same opportunity, but only 5 took advantage of that opportunity. You want to take advantage of everything God has given to you, of all the opportunities and space he's giving you to use your anointing to give glory to him. Yes. That's what you want to do. You don't want to be lackadaisical and lazy. And, I have time to do what God said. It's 12-something on a Sunday. I'll do it next week. You don't know how much time you have. You had better be obedient now. You had better do it now. And protect what he's given to you. Use wisdom. Use saints' love, discernment. Use your discernment. Ask God to show you a person's heart and their motive before you align yourself with them, before you sign your name on a dotted line. Young people, it's so important to read the terms and conditions. I know we don't like to do it, but in the spirit, before you align yourself with somebody and agree to work with them, agree to do anything, read the terms and conditions. Ask God to show you, what exactly does this person want to do this for? What is their reason behind this? Where do I fall into this? Are they trying to use me and abuse me and leech off me? You want to be in prayer at all times and ask God to really reveal to you what this is. And if you've got the anointing and the gift, protect it. Protect it at all costs, no matter what. They said, that's not my problem that you didn't prepare. You had the same opportunity to prepare that I did. That's the very person that you're not ready. That sounds very, very extremely personal. I'm ready. I don't have time to babysit. I don't have time to babysit. I don't have time to take on extra responsibility because I'm doing what God has told me to do. How about you get yourself together and get ready? Be ready, because, again, you just never know. You never know. We don't know when he's going to come. Be ready. You want to be ready. To be ready is to anticipate what's to come, okay? None of us know when Jesus is coming, but you know he's coming. We don't know when, okay? The trend is not being prepared, procrastination, sleeping on your purpose, not being fully applied and being asleep to the reality that Jesus is coming. That's what the world is. They are epically blind right now. It's up to us. Up to us to have the change embedded so deep on us that we're getting ready and we're telling people it's time to get ready for Christ's return. Yeah. Having the oil, having the anointing, having our lives aligned with the standards that God has set forth is going to be what captures the world. It's not going to be how cute we look up here and in our church clothes and, you know, our lives, our ministry. Amen. Everything you say, you do, everything you double tap on social media, how you interact at school, at work, everything is a ministry. Your very life. And you want to live a life that's a testament to God's saving grace and his power. You want somebody to be like, there's something about you that's different. You don't do what everybody else does. What is that? Bingo. Now you've got them. Now you can lock it in and bring it on home. You want to be able to win souls for the kingdom. If you're a believer, I'm a real believer, you know, not a part-time Christian. If you're a full-time Christian, you should not be happy with the reality that there's people who are dying every day that don't know Jesus Christ. That's a problem. It's a problem for me. Everybody that we know, we should be trying to bring them into the reality of who God is and what salvation is and what Jesus did on the cross 2,000 years ago. That's what it's about. When you really love God and keep his commandments and you love your neighbor, I don't want to see my neighbor go to hell. I don't want to see nobody be on eternal roast, fry, or barbecue. I want everybody to be chilling in the heavenly AC and have their mansion. I want everybody to have that because I love myself. I want myself to have that. Start thinking about it like in terms of that. Let your mentality be transformed and be changed and have a godly mindset, not a mindset for self. It's not about me. We just sang just now, praise and worship. I decrease so you can increase. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. That's what you want. And you're never too young. You know, I give my testimony. At one point in my life, I was like, I have time. I'll be saved when I'm like my parents' age. I'll be saved when I'm old. But how do you know you're going to live that long? How do you know that? How, Sway? How do you know you have 10 more years to just do what you want to do and then give your life to the Lord? People in our generation, our age, are checking out left and right. Checking out, dropping. You don't have time, and you're never too young. Josiah was 8 when he was king. 8. So what's your excuse? What's your reason why you can't just be obedient and do what God has called you to do and be different for him? It's okay to be different. Yeah, no, I'm different. It's okay. I'm way different. I've come to accept that. That's because you know what? In being different, somebody else is going to see God. If that's what it takes, if I have to put myself out there and just be different for God. Be holy. Thank you, Mom. Feel free to preach along this sermon with me, Mom. Being different for God is okay. It's okay because you've been changed so much so to the point you don't even care what anybody else thinks. Stop worrying about people's opinion. Their opinions don't pay your bills and they didn't pay for your salvation. Okay? Be delivered from people's opinions. Only opinion that matters is God's opinion of you. That's what you... People's approval... You want God's approval. What does God feel about you? Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Yeah. That's what you want. It doesn't matter who's not following back. Okay? You should be worried about who, Jesus coming back. Stop worrying about what everyone thinks about you because you know what? When Jesus comes, it's going to matter what he thinks about you. Amen. Just saying. Just sing. Just be obedient. Just do it. Don't follow the trends of what everyone else is doing. Just do what God's called you to do. And it's okay to be different. No one's ever done what I'm doing before. I'm scared. I get that. But God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. A sound mind is discipline. Ask God to give you the discipline and the wisdom and discernment to do what he's called you to do. And he will. Ask him to show you exactly how. He showed Noah specifically how to build a boat. He didn't just tell him, well, build this boat and let me know how it goes. I'll check back on you in a week. He gave him a specific set of instructions on how to do it. God will show you what to do. He'll show you how to be a light in this world and let your life be a testament to who he is. He'll show you exactly what you're supposed to be doing. Trust me. Well, but you have to ask, and you have to be a willing vessel, completely and totally submitted. You can't say, all right, God, I want to be used, but, you know, No. Mm-mm. Complete and total surrender of your heart, your mind, your life. All of me goes to you, you know. Everything I have belongs to the Lord. That's the mindset, and that's the attitude of the heart you want to have. Complete and total surrender. And so no matter what this world is doing, no matter what everyone else says is right, no matter what everyone else thinks is cool, is popping at the time, what does God say? I want to be so changed that I'm able to change the world without changing to be like the world. Yeah. I want to be so different that they have no choice but to look at and kind of desire and want to know and be intrigued by and be curious about, what is it about you? Where did that come from? You have this glow. You have this peace. You have this joy. You have this personality that just bursts everywhere. Where does that come from? I want that. You want people to want what you have, and you have Jesus. That's what you want. That's what it's about. We can't call ourselves Generation Next. And on paper, we sound good. We sound like we're cool, like we're going to be on fire for the Lord, but not really have it deep down in our heart and have it in our mind. That's what you want. As a believer, everything you do, everything you say, everything you do should be as unto the Lord to bring him glory. Amen. Everything. And so I just wanted to encourage you today. I'm about through. Some pastors have accused me of being long-winded. So I'm about through a certain pastor. Well, no, it's a cute would be long-winded. But be changed in your mind. And God will be able to do a work through you that'll be a testament to his glory, and people will come into the kingdom. That's what we want. We want to be the change beyond what's trending. Be transformed. Be so different that people want to know. They're curious. They're intrigued. They want to know. And so I love you, and God bless you. Be transformed beyond what's trending.